jealous. Both good guys. But look what it says. And they prayed and said, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men? Show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Lord, we want to know what you want. That's what we need to do. The apostles didn't just go do what their own thing. Missionaries, when they're sent out, they're not supposed to be just going off doing their own thing. Number one, they better stay in fellowship with the Lord. Number two, they better stay in contact with their sending church. You're sent out from the church, not to go do your own thing. I've had this conversation sometimes with missionaries or even with evangelists. Nobody's telling me what to do with my ministry. Whoa, time out. Yeah, you're still going to use your sending church's name, you hypocrite? I said it right. Well, nobody's telling me. Well, you believe in pastoral authority as long as it's yours, but you don't believe in the authority that you're sending church to get. Why don't you keep in contact with your church? I'm big on local church. Well, my pastor just doesn't know. Well, educate him. How can he know? He doesn't walk in your shoes here. How can he know? Maybe have him come over, but then keep him abreast. And by the way, 2 weeks on the mission field, you're a tourist. But you're going to learn some things. Follow on. Go over to chapter 2. You know, we find the Lord working with them here in Acts chapter 2, the whole thing about tongues. Tongues is no unearthly languages. Angels never spoke in some strange angelic utterance that nobody understood. Whenever an angel came, always spoke to a human being in a language that person couldn't understand. Tongues, the word means glossa, supernatural ability to learn and speak in other languages without, formal education. You never got trained in it. God bridged that gap of communication so you could, because it says here, how hear we every man speak in our own tongue wherein we were born? Languages. It's not the gift of ears. Well, somebody stood up there and preached and it got translated in the air. No, that's not what the word means. That's nonsense. Oh, they got smitten by the Spirit. What in the world? That's not what happened. But I want you to see the apostles, they're praying, they're preaching the local church, they went out witnessing, and God did the big stuff. God's the one that gave the gift of tongues, where certain ones were able to communicate in other languages without ever learning it. That's called a miracle. That's calling God stepped in. That's what we need to be doing. Lord, do a work in such a way that you get the glory and honor for it. Look here, down verse 24. And they prayed and said, I'm sorry, this is in verse 1 again. I'm going to read again. They prayed and said, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast sent. So we find again that they're praying and asking God to intervene. They want to do God's will, God's way. Chapter 2, look at verse 41 and 42. So again, there were 3,000 people that ended up getting saved, baptized and added into the church. Then it says in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's the first step of obedience. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued in what? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Wow, what a victory. Look what God did. Okay, keep praying. Don't stop doing what moved God to get involved. You trusted God. You relied on God. Continue. Continue. It's not your success. It's God's. Well, you know, I've been saved 40 years. There's still work to do in your life. I've been saved 40 years, so I know if God's still working on me, He's still working on you. And there's still things that God wants to use you for, or He'd already take you home. So continue doing what you know is right. Keep in fellowship with God. Keep praying. Keep being faithful. No matter where God's got you settled. Continue, continue, continue. That's when you're going to hear later, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Continue. Keep doing what God will bless. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Hey, they set time aside to go pray. How about we set time aside where we're going to pray? I'd encourage you really to start in the morning with the Lord. Get in the Word of God. Get alone with God. How about closing out your day with God? But you better make sure you're still daily, throughout the day, you're in contact with the Lord. You know something amazing I learned? Because when I got saved, I busted my knee. When I got saved, I made my knee bend. I'd torn the cartilage in it. And so I had lots of time to read my Bible. That's how I ended up getting saved. But I still made myself kneel. And then for the longest time, that's the only position I'd go in. You know, came out of Roman Catholicism. You know, I found out you could pray sitting. You could pray standing. And when the Bible says walk with the Lord, what's that talking about? Walking. I don't have to kneel to be in prayer to God. So you can be talking to the Lord throughout the day. Lord, help me be a good testimony. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to be able to witness to these people where I work with. Lord, help me today. Put me in contact with someone that I could talk to. Somebody I can give a gospel tract to. You know, a couple days ago we're at the motel where we're staying, I went down early for breakfast, and I hear someone whistling, just real faintly. I'm thinking, somebody's whistling. And as I'm listening to it, I'm thinking, that's a hymn. So I pop my head around the corner. I guess you call him a clerk or manager there. He's over there in the corner waiting for a shift to end. Struck up a conversation, been talking with him. He gave me some stuff. There's a lot of things that he's kind of messed up on, but he's got salvation nailed down. Need to help him. See, need to help him. I'm just looking for a way, an opportunity to be a help and a blessing. So look for the opportunities. God will allow these things to fall right in front of you. But if we're not looking for it, or we're not willing to invest some time. Now, what I'm saying is, you make that initial contact. And you say, well, I only got 15, 20 minutes. Or that person only has 15, 20 minutes. Well, get some information. And say, hey, you know what? I really would like to come back and talk with you. Maybe I can help you with a few answers to some of the questions that you have. Okay, so you're not coming across like you're a know-it-all. You know, I told this guy in the course, and we've spent roughly 6 hours together already. And I said in the course of all this, I said, you know what? He was giving me books and stuff. By the way, Brother Carey, you know the subject we're talking about? Quakers and Salvation Army believe the same thing. Hey, so this guy's got some things that has to be sorted out. Now, if I'm ignorant to him, but I wanted him to understand, okay, this guy's got a book, wonderful. Okay, I've got two degrees and a doctorate. You know what that means? I have some knowledge in an area. Do I know everything? No way. I can, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. I can learn from other people. Hey, how'd you word that? Oh, that was good. I got to remember that. I want to make it more effective, better communication. So we can always be learning. Sometimes you can even learn from the devil. Does he ever quit? See, you can learn if you're looking. There's a lot of other stuff I wouldn't copy from him. So what are we seeing? A pattern of the apostles continually praying. Look at Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we have some persecution breaking out. There was a fellow that got saved. He was walking and leaping and praising God, creating a whole ruckus there in the temple. And the apostles took opportunity to start witnessing to people about Christ, the miracle that was performed. Hey, this isn't in our power. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ did this. Now, when we drop down and look at verse 29... In chapter 4 and verse 29, they've gotten out of, they're released from prison. They've come back to the church. And it says, and they're praying together. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Yeah, they threatened to beat him and throw him in jail again. They're telling the Lord what's happened. They're praying about this. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They didn't say, Lord, give us a good hiding place. Lord, we need to go back. Give us boldness. There's a difference between boldness and rudeness. There's a difference between being zealous and being obnoxious. Lord, give us boldness. That doesn't mean you go in there and scream at them. But despite the concerns, you're going to face the fear. There are times, clearly, when the Lord teaches us to leave. Okay, there's times when they smuggled Paul out of town because they knew the mob was going to kill him. But most of the time, you just need to go and confront your fears. Then notice, drop down a little bit, verse 31. And the multitude of them that believed We're of one heart. It's important for the church to be in unity, especially about what God's called us to do. And of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things he possessed was his own. Hey, it all belongs to the Lord. But they had all things in common. And verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them. That's what we want, God's grace and God's power. Lord, that you use us. Help us to make a difference. Lord, help me to sow seed. Hey, you know, you can sow. Paul sowed seed. Apollos came back and watered over it. And then the Lord brought the increase. I save that one and I save that. You can't save any sinner, let alone saving yourself. Jesus has to save you. Okay? So we need to understand that. Some folks, depending on what harvest field you're in, how much seed you sowed, hey, sometimes there's 30-fold that comes out, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. And okay, great, wonderful. But there better be something. The point I'm making, we're not going to have all the same results. But we all better be practicing the same thing. Seeking the Lord, praying, yielding ourselves to God, allowing God to use us. You're going to find throughout the book of Acts, you find this over and over and over. Look at chapter 6. They're going to select deacons. What do? Chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. That's the apostles. And to the ministry of the word. The church had grown largely, and there were some things that were lacking. But it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased. Disciples multiplied. Oh, there they are looking at the Bible, studying. Hey, there they are praying again, beseeching God, Lord, show us, help us to fix the problem. We got a problem in the church. We need to address this. So again, we got to go to the Lord with these problems. Look with me a little further. Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, you remember Saul of Tarsus? Former persecutor of the church. The Lord tells Ananias about Saul. Ananias knows. He says, Lord, whoa, we've heard much evil this guy's done. But notice what the Lord said in verse 11. The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Now just a minute. The Lord's conversing with Ananias. What's Ananias doing? He's talking with the Lord. He's praying too. Now look what it says. And one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he prayeth. Hey, this former persecutor is praying to the Lord. Hey, he's serious about doing something for God. Remember, at this point, he is blind. He is blind. His eyesight been taken away. You don't think that would humble you? He had to rely on somebody else to lead him around because he couldn't see a thing. And he's begging God and asking God. And listen, I bet you there's a whole lot of things he was talking to the Lord about. Lord, I'm sorry for this and that person and the harm I did here. And, oh, Lord, I didn't really realize. I did it in ignorance. Lord, I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't in my mind. I didn't understand the scriptures. I was just being religious. I bet you there was a whole lot of things he talked to the Lord about. And Ananias is told, hey, he's praying. New convert. Look with me. Chapter 10. This is about Cornelius. I can't give you a full comprehension of this. We got a lost man's prayers being heard and coming before heaven. Well, you're not right with God. God's not going to hear your prayers. Well, it depends on how rebellious you are. This guy's not even saved. And I'm not going to pretend like I can explain this. I'm just saying we got a God that's merciful and very, very gracious. And this fellow Cornelius is a Gentile. He's an Italian. Look on. Beginning of verse number 1. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Okay, a band, a Roman band. That's like 600 to 1,000 men, something like that. It's a bunch. And then it says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God. Wait a minute, a lost person's praying? Why God put this in here? Learn something. Are we praying? Drop down with me just for the sake of time. Drop down, look at verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Hey, I want to ask you something. Where's your prayers go? Do they get past the ceiling? I'm just saying, God put this in here for us to learn something from. There's times when I say, "Oh, God don't listen to lost people's prayer except they repent and get saved. They'll listen to that." I was wrong. I think he's praying and asking the Lord, "Help me, I want to know how to be saved." Just an opinion, okay? And preachers, we need to be careful about giving our opinion. You give your opinion, make sure you tell people it's your opinion. You could be wrong. Okay, you can't sell turnips on my opinions. All right? Just food for thought. Let's continue. Look with me here. Drop down verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Oh, so now Peter's praying, and the Lord starts telling him and giving him direction. You're going to go to Cornelius' place. There's some fellas waiting for you outside. And don't call that which is unclean. Don't call it, I cleaned it. Don't call it unclean. Peter later clearly understood what that meant. Look at verse 30. And 31, just emphasizing, throughout the book of Acts, you're going to see prayer, you're going to see the Holy Spirit dealing with people, with believers as well as lost folks. God working with them. 30 and 31, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting, oh, we don't want to talk about that as Baptists, do we? Fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Okay, verse 3 talks about an angel. And said, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard." Now you explain it. Come on, preachers. At least give your opinion. You know what my opinion I got? I don't know. God said he prayed. God confirmed he heard. I can remember there was a lost person going out on the hills on our farm and saying, "God, I want to know how to get to heaven. God, how do I get my sins forgiven?" You think maybe that might be a prayer that the Lord's interested in? I even said, "God, if you're real, I want to know you." You think maybe God might be interested in that? God started putting Christians around me, believers. You say, "How did you find out?" When I got saved, I started witnessing, and I thought, "Wait a minute, you sat right across from me in class. You played football with me. How come? For years, you never even talked to me. You mean you claim to be my friend and you let me go to hell?" Most of them said this: "God, number one, we were afraid of you. I had a bad temper. Number two, Claude, we thought you were the last person in the world to ever get saved." You don't know what God's doing in someone's heart and life. Cornelius, an Italian, okay? They believed in multiplicities of God. They believed it's okay to be immoral. This guy, somewhere along the line, he found this was all wrong. And he basically became, you know, a Jew follower, a Judaizer. He ended up embracing Judaism. But he still was lost. It was still empty. He needed to know. He didn't have that assurance. Well, he's praying. God heard his prayers. And he sent Peter over to tell them all how to be saved. And the whole household ends up getting saved. Hey, there's a whole world out there. We don't know whose hearts God is dealing with. We could be bouncing around left and right. Why don't we ask God, "Lord, time's short. There's a lot of people to speak to. God, lead me and direct me. Help me, Lord. I want my time to be fruitful." Now, you can't take the gospel to the wrong person unless you know where pastor lives and you go knock on his door and ask him if he needs to be saved. Now you're wasting time. But if you're out and about, how about we just ask God, "Lord, lead me. God, take me to somebody whose heart you're working on. Lord, take me someplace where I can sow this gospel seed. Lord, the time's short." What's wrong with that? Okay, and you're sowing the seed. Maybe God will bring you back and water it, or maybe God will use somebody else. And you get to heaven and you go, "Man, I remember talking to you. I remember leaving some information on your door. Oh, shucks, you got saved, huh? How come I didn't get to..." No, you're not going to get mad that somebody else led them to the Lord. There's a lot here to look at. Let me take you over to Acts 13. Acts 13. Again, this is dealing primarily with leaders in the church, but it's still dealing with the church. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, right? Look what we find in Acts 13. Now there were in the church. In the what? The church. Does that affect Independent Baptist Church right here? In the church. Look what it says. In the church that was in Antioch, local New Testament church, there's no great big invisible church until after the rapture occurs, okay? And prophets and teachers and Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered, they were already serving. Remember, we've already been hitting on that. We need to serve the Lord. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Remember, God working in you and God working through you and God working together with you, right? We saw that last night. Look here. It says, and fasted, the Holy Spirit, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Does he know our names? Does he know who you are? Does he know your strengths, your weaknesses, your abilities, and your inabilities? Does he already have a plan and what he wants to use you for? Samuel came to Jesse in the Old Testament, said, hey, God's going to pick one of your sons to be king. Line them all up here. And the Lord took them through one by one by one. None of these. Hey, there's none of these guys. You have another son? Oh, yeah, it's just David. He's out there taking care of the sheep. We ain't sitting down, let alone eating, until you go get him and bring him in here. Oh, no, not David. Really? Really? David? You better go get him. And when he walked in, God said, that's a man after my own heart. That's the one. You anoint him. I wonder what went through his brother's minds. What went through Jesse's mind? Really? David? Really? Well, God saw a king. You don't know what God's going to do in your life. By the way, God was preparing and molding David down the road for a task that he never expected to fill. Wait a minute, shepherd boy. Wait a minute. You mean you killed Goliath? Really? David, shepherd boy. Yeah, right. You were playing music for the king. Right. Go back and take care of the sheep. You let God mold you and you let God prepare you. You stay yielded to God. Keep learning and keep growing and keep walking with God. And let him make you what he wants you to be. You know, a lot of times we point out, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How about we just pause for a minute? Follow me, that's your part. What's God's part? He said, I will make you. Let God make you what he wants you to be. He wants us, all of us, to be more like Christ. But there's some special things that God wants to prepare you for the task he has you to do. We don't need carbon copies of one another. Okay? We're supposed to be what the Lord wants us to be, and he knows. And he says here, they fasted and prayed and so forth, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and or Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So what did they do? They were praying, they were ministering, and the Spirit of God said, I want these two guys, come here. Two guys that were already following the Lord, two guys that were already serving God. And God says, come here, I got some other stuff I want you to do. And remember, the Lord had already showed Paul, especially. He said it to Paul and he said it to Ananias. I've already showed him what things he must, anybody remember the next word? Suffer. Oh, I want to line up for Jesus. Sometimes, I got some things I need you to suffer. By the way, we don't know what all the Lord worked in Paul's heart about, but do you think those 3 days when Paul was fasting and praying, and just my opinion, just human, all those things, I wonder how many faces came into Paul's mind, how many voices did he hear of people that he caused to suffer? You know, there's several times when he gives his testimony, and there's one fellow that he mentions both times. Remember his name? Stephen. Way back there, Stephen. Saul was right there holding the clothes and encouraging those to beat him with stones. Kill him! Throw him out of there! Paul, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. Lord, I deserve all those things that I did to others. I deserve it to happen to me. I'm just saying, humanly speaking, Lord, I'd be willing to die for you. Before he even got baptized, before he was even in church, before he even read a scripture verse after he got his sight, the Lord had already showed him, there's some things, buddy, I got plans for you. Some of it's going to be good and some of it's going to be real tough. I showed you some things you're going to suffer. And he was willing to do it. He never sat back and went, I don't deserve any of this. Oh, this is the way I'm going to be treated by people. I quit. He didn't do that. Lord, I'm willing to be a living sacrifice. I'm willing to die that others might get saved. So we find him doing this over and over and over. In Acts chapter 12, we don't have time to look at it. Let me tell you the story. Peter gets arrested. He's put in prison. And the church prayed for Peter's release. Peter gets freed, and he gets out of jail, and he's just kind of odd. At first, he thought maybe he's just having a dream. And he gets completely out of the prison, and he's like, wow, look what the Lord did. And he's thinking, where should I go, Lord? You need to go to John Mark's mom's place. They're having prayer meeting. And he gets there, and he's out at the gate. Let me in. Let me in. They're going to find out I'm out. And there's a gal named Rhoda. She ends up hearing the banging at the door. And she comes over to the door, and we don't know what went on there. Who is it? It's Peter. Open the door. Oh, it's Peter. Hey, everybody, it's Peter. He's out there. No, Rhoda, you nuts. It ain't Peter. I mean, this is the prayer warriors that are praying for Peter. Rhoda, you cuckoo. You know, I always wonder, you know, see a blonde? Why didn't you open the door? Blondes sometimes get a bad rap, right, Bunny? And why didn't she open the door? And even after they opened the door, they're like astonished. Mighty prayer warriors of faith. They didn't even believe God would answer it. But they still prayed. You see what I'm getting at? Did Peter do all the things on his own power, his own strength, his own ability? You go open all those gates. You're tied up with other people, shackled. You release all those shackles and fetters. Ain't going to happen. God opened the prison. God let him out. God brought him out and set him free. Why didn't you do that for James? We don't know. We don't know. Okay? We don't know. The point is, God has his plan for each of us, and one day we're all going to die. We ought to fill our life with service. I remember a young fellow named Joe Chevalier. Traveled with him when I traveled with Joe Boyd. He was from Canada. He had a heart for God. Young fellow. He ended up coming to Bible college. Zealous. I mean, there's a lot of young people, a lot of teenagers he led to the Lord. He came, got baptized, did it in a youth group. But Joe died early. He was going over to someone's house to rake some leaves for them. It's getting a little dusk. And it's a four-lane road on MacArthur. And he was on that inside lane going to go over. And this person came right up behind him, didn't see him, hit him. He flew backwards. Hit his skull right onto the windshield. They figure he was dead on impact. He got all his stuff together and they shipped it back up to Niagara Falls where his home church was and his dad, his family was up there. One of the things that they found was in his Bible, we were required to preach 3 times a week, go soul winning for at least 6 hours a week, and we had to preach 3 times a week. That's just the minimum. Most guys did more than that. That was the minimum. So by the time they graduated, they had 600-700 times that they've already preached. They've already done 600-700 sermon outlines. All Joe's stuff got sent home. And his Bible, the pastor saw it, and he was leafing through it, and there was those three sermon outlines, and one was on heaven. And his pastor looked at it. I'm going to preach this at Joe's funeral. When Joe and I traveled, I was a few years older than Joe. And Joe and I, we got talking. We said, hey, why don't we pray together? You know, after we have our own devotions, we have breakfast, let's spend some time praying. We'll pray for our families. We'll pray for other things. And how about we pray? And so we did. I was praying. And I was begging God for my family to be saved, for my mom to be saved. And I said, Lord, whatever it takes, even my own death, that's what it takes to get their attention. And Joe reached over and grabbed me and he said, what are you doing? What are you saying? I said, Joe, I mean it. Whatever it takes. Eternity is a long time. Joe started praying that. Joe got killed in that accident. All his possessions and stuff shipped back to Canada. And his pastor took that outline and announced to everybody that it's Joe's sermon, one of the last sermons that Joe wrote. And his pastor preached it. You want to know who the first hand was that went up? His dad. His dad got saved at his funeral. You're in Oklahoma City trying to serve God. God's using you there, but you're still burdened about your family, but you're going to go do what God said. And Lord, even if it takes my own death to get my parents' attention, Lord, so be it. We don't know why James died and Peter didn't. Or John, it was John. What, John or James? It's one of them J's. We don't know why he died and Peter was spared. Once is appointed unto man to die. We don't know when that is. So we ought to be zealous and faithful for the Lord. What do we find the New Testament doing? They first gave themselves to the Lord. He's talking about saved people. Does God have you? Are you still running your life? Or does God have you? They prayed. They followed the Lord. They started witnessing. They had opposition and obstacles, but they kept praying through it. And God helped them through all that. And more people got saved, and then more people got saved, and hey, there was difficulties along the way, and they kept going. And guess what? There were believers over the centuries that just kept copying that same pattern until the gospel was brought to you. Now guess what God wants to do with this church and with each believer here? He wants you to continue that same pattern. Do we have a heart for God? Do we want our families to be saved? As I said, people aren't fed up with Christianity. They're just fed up with a poor imitation. When I was zealous for sin, self, and sports, nobody ever said I was a fanatic, but I was. But then when I got saved and gave as much zeal to the things of Christ, people thought, well, you're a nut. You're a fanatic. I always handed out gospel tracts, trying to invite people to church, trying to talk to people about the Lord, trying to win people to Christ. I don't do it all the time. But it ought to be something that's a priority. Because Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So I'll at least be out sowing and carrying tracks. You know, sometimes I forget. My wife says, hey, you got a track on you? Or she's buying something. She's handing out tracks. Get her hair done. Hey, I want to give you this track, this gospel track. A little extra tip in there. Helps them read it. They get a little more interested when you pass them on a little bit of greenback. What do we do? We're just trying to reach the lost for Christ. I'm going to give you one more story. Our youth group in Barrie. When we left and went to Kelowna to start People's Baptist Church, the last evening, most of those teenagers, 30, 40 of them, came to say goodbye. Tears coming down their face. Brother and Mrs. Madel, who's going to take us soul winning? God called a number of those young people to full-time Christian service in the ministry. There was one young man that ended up going to Dominican Republic. He got saved. He was Catholic. His parents were Catholic. He was 13. He lived a godly life. He was a godly testimony to his parents. His mom, I think, got saved first. Maybe they both got saved at the same time. I worked for that guy's dad at one time. His dad came to church. He was already under conviction. And this is what he said. I want what my son has. Here's a man that grew up in Catholicism his whole life. Here's a man that's a very wealthy businessman. But he saw something in his son. He said, I need that. I need what my son has. He said, why do you tell us that? Because everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. And there's a young man that got serious about serving God. He came to Oklahoma Baptist College, and then he got married to Yank. And then he ended up serving in Purgatory, Dallas. And I told him one day, I said, you better come back to Canada, or I'm going to break your stinking legs. He saw me years later at a missions conference. He said, Brother Muddy, you don't have to break my legs. I'm back in Canada. And he started church there. And then God called him to go to the Dominican Republic. Okay? Hey, we don't know what turns and bends that God has in us. Sometimes he'll put you in a place for your whole life. Sometimes he makes you move again. And then make you move again. And then make you move again. Just keep trusting the Lord. Keep praying for his will to be done. Okay? We ought to be praying for the missionaries. Lord, meet their physical needs, mental needs. Some of them have to learn culture and languages. There's a lot of pressures. Well, it's not growing as fast as you thought it would. Let's quit. No, that, it's not about that. It's about what the Lord wants. There's some of them that got lots of needs. They need help praying. Lord, put a hedge about them, strengthen them. Lord, put them in contact with people that can become pillars in the church. Lord, would you call men and women into the ministry through that church that can go back and reach their own areas? Isn't that what we find in the Bible? Our own lives ought to start with faith, trusting the Lord, and then praying and seeking Him. When does that stop? It doesn't. But sometimes in believers' life, we lose that fellowship with the Lord. And we forget, hey, I got a responsibility to pray. I got to pray for the things that I have need of, but I'm supposed to be praying for folks in the church, and I'm supposed to be holding these up in prayer so that God can continue using them. That's my responsibility too. So you see, church, we're supposed to continue. Continue the pattern. I don't have to make it up. I have to learn what it says and then be faithful maintaining it. Prayer and missions. It doesn't stop. Let God use you. But don't try and do it by yourself. You can't. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness and patience of the folks tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help us not simply to be hearers but doers. Lord, stir our hearts. Lord, help us to remember that you're not done with us. We're still here. And Lord, to realize that the harvest truly is great. And Lord, there's so much more that needs to be done. And Lord, we need laborers. But Lord, you've already told us the answer. Pray you the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. And Lord, help us not only to pray for them, help us to realize we got a field right here, Lord, that needs sowing and plowing and watering. And Lord, we look to you to bring forth the increase. But help us, Lord, to rely on you and not on our own flesh and our own understanding. For Lord, we can't look in people's hearts and minds, but Lord, you can. And so God, we ask that you'd guide us and help us and empower us and use us. And Lord, we pray you give us wisdom and guidance. And Lord, that your will be accomplished in us and through us. And Lord, work with us. For Lord, we cannot do it on our own. Now heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. The invitation is open to you. If there happens to be someone here that says, Brother Madel, I'm not even saved, then why don't you get that matter settled tonight? Just swallow your pride and get that matter settled. And then, child of God, you need to first give yourself. There's someone here, you got a purpose, you're going to be a prayer warrior. you're going to pray. We had a couple in Kelowna that they'd pray in the afternoon. You knew better. Don't Pastor, I'm sorry, we'd love to have you come, but Pastor, we pray for those 2 hours in the afternoon. We spend time thanking the Lord and giving Him praise, and then we intercede and we supplicate and we pray. When those folks passed on, there was something different in the church. We need to be holding up one another in prayer. I'm praying that God would do a work in us. Let God use you. Your strengths, your weaknesses, your inabilities. Lord, mold me, make me, help me. Help me just faithfully, day by day, to follow you. The heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let God do a work in your heart. We'll have the piano play. And let God have His way with you. Prayer and missions. The Holy Spirit. God works in us and through us. And He wants to work alongside with us. We do what we can do, and He'll take care of the big stuff.